Praise the Lord. Title this morning, Dance at the Bus Stop. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 to 7. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So the words of the preacher, Ecclesiastes, book of Ecclesiastes, title given to it by the Alexandrian fathers as they translated the Hebrew scriptures into Greek. We know the word ekklesia, the church, and these are the words of the preacher. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. And you know, the preacher is right. Life is basically two things. It's a golden bowl, and it's a rope pulley. It's a pulley system at the well. That's what our life is. On one hand, our life is a golden bowl, suspended by a silver cord. Life is so precious. It's so costly. Life is so wonderful in the Lord. And we understand the preciousness of life like a golden bowl suspended by a silver cord. It's not held up from the earth. Our life is let down from God. Silver cord of redemption, the gold of His beauty to our lives. And what a gift of God it is. God is the giver of life, life most precious. And we all understand that side. But life is also a rope pulley at the well. Not made of gold. There's a pitcher, the earthen vessel at the fountain, but simply an iron pulley, kind of crude and rough. And it speaks to us of the rather dull and monotonous routine of life. Life is golden, and life is like a pulley system at the well. And every day you get up and you take the same steps and you take the same action and you do the same thing and you draw water and you pull up and you let down the rope and you make trips to the well, the same repetitive motion day after day. It can become kind of mundane and tedious at times, but that's life. The constant cycle of the day. And what happens is that as we go back and forth and pull up and down and life goes on, what happens is that there is wear on that entire pulley system. And one day that entire pulley system wears through and the whole apparatus crashes into the well. And the pitcher, our earthen vessel, is shattered at the fountain. And the golden bowl is loosed because the cord, the silver cord, is broken, and our life falls to the earth. Our life is over. And the Bible says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, but the spirit will return to God who made it. Our life is a golden bowl, and our life is a pulley system in the earth. Last week I was speaking with my mom, and we talk about the things of the Lord, things of life. She's turning 96 next month. She's vibrant. She's radiant. She's full of the Holy Spirit. Her face shines with the anointing. She's prophetic. She's rejoicing. We laugh our time away as we fellowship. And I said, Mom, you're turning 96. I said, you worked at a job till you were 70 before you retired. I said, did you ever feel the monotonous cycle of life, that just that daily routine? And she said, oh yes. She said, some days I woke up and I was a little tired, but I felt that monotonous cycle of life. Every day she got up, prepared, went to the bus stop, took the bus downtown, went into the same shop, did the same work at the fur shop every day, sewing furs for people. And I said, Mom, wasn't it monotonous at times? She said, oh yes. I said, but what did you do? What did you do? She said, I would dance at the bus stop. I said, Mom, you would dance at the bus stop. My mom danced at the bus stop. She said, you have to learn how to rejoice in the Lord throughout the day. Not only take pleasure and enjoyment in the simple things of life, the small gifts of God that come during the day, but to actively learn how to rejoice in the Lord throughout the day. And I couldn't help but think of David in Psalm 119, 164, where he said, 7 times a day do I praise thee. 7 times a day do I praise you because of your righteous rulings, your conduct. 7 times a day. And if we really get practical with that, that's about every 2 hours we should stop and take a praise the Lord break. Interject your day with time to praise the Lord. Maybe you're working in your office hour after hour, but every couple hours you get up and speak in tongues and lift your hands and praise the Lord. You're working on the construction site and you can slip behind a partition wall and dance a jig and praise the Lord. Say, Pastor Ron, you're out of your mind. No, I'm out of your mind. Seven times a day, do I praise the Lord? We have to learn how to take some praise the Lord breaks. You know, the world takes its breaks. Every hour or two, they have to get some stimulants or some toxins into them to keep their life going, keep the life up. And in our nation these days, it seems the whole nation is looking to get high. But there's no high like the Most High. There's no high like the Most High. I'm sorry, I know it's an old joke. But God wants us to learn how to live and interject our day with the presence of the Lord, the felt presence of God. Let's look at a scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. One day we'll stand in the fullness of God. But even now, while we do not see Jesus Christ visibly, we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Even though we face trials, even though sorrows come, the Apostle Paul said, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. This is how we fight our battles. And we thank the Lord for his grace and his mercy, the living hope, the life of Jesus within us. Colossians 3 and verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, he is our life right now. We love Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this earthen body, in this mortal body, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, by responding to the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live. Say, well, who's living in you? Is it Christ or you? Well, we're both in here together. I don't know where Christ ends and where I start. We're so one. We're joined that beautifully with our Lord, and Christ lives in us, and we live, and the two are one. This is a great mystery, but it's the mystery of God. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord has given to you. The Lord is our life and our length of days. Wouldn't it be wise for us to tap into that life as much as we can? At least 7 times a day, to take a moment to praise the Lord, renew our systems, renew our spirit. Sometimes people greet me with the words, "What's new?" And my standard answer is, "Everything." And they say, "Everything?" I'm not trying to be clever, I'm just trying to be accurate and scriptural. Pastor phoned me a couple weeks ago, younger pastor from another city, and I haven't talked to him for 8 or 9 months. He said, "What's new?" I said, "Everything." He just fell silent. He said, "Wow, I've never had that response before." And we kind of chuckled, and I didn't elaborate, but you know it's true. What's new? Everything. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. The love of God pouring down, the blessing of God, the fresh life of the Holy Spirit is new every morning. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Even now it springs forth. Will you receive it? Every day is new with the Lord. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. The trees of righteousness which we are, every day there's new growth on the tree. There's growth on our spiritual life which has never been there before. There is fruit on our branches that has developed and never been there before. Everything is new. You will speak with new tongues. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will show you a new way to walk. And the path we've walked, we've never been this way before. I've never taken the steps in life that I'm taking now in God, because everything is new. He gives us new wine. He gives us fresh oil. Every day is new with the Lord. And Christ is our life. Revelation 21:5, the Lord said, "Behold, I make all things new. I make all things new." If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation. And the Bible says when we come up out of the waters of baptism that we rise to walk in newness of life, kainos, ever new life, life that is ever new in quality. That is the blessing of the Lord. Fresh manna, new manna came down every day to the people of God in the wilderness. And it's a picture because Jesus said, "I am the living bread and I've come down for all of you. I've come down to minister to you the word of God, the life of God." Every morning, a fresh batch of manna showed up in the wilderness. And the Bible says that man ate angels' food. I don't know about you, but I like angels' food. Angel food cake and whatever else you can make out of angels' food. I love the bread of heaven. I love eating what they eat up there. I love the bread of heaven, because when you eat the bread of heaven, your feet don't swell and your shoes don't wear out and your garments don't wax old and your systems are strong and your body is healed by the presence and the power of Jesus. Exodus 16, the manna. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. King James says as fine as hoarfrost. And we all understand hoarfrost on the trees. How beautiful. How dazzling. How shimmering. Diamonds as the sun shines on the hoarfrost. Exodus 16:31, and the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Numbers 11, 7 to 8. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of delium, a precious sparkling gem. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans and made cakes of it, and its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. My favorite breakfast food is pastry. You can prepare it with oil. Wow, that's what they got to eat every day. God says, this manna is so fresh, it's so alive, it's coming down every morning. You can't make it, you can't create it, but you can go out and gather it, because while you're sleeping, God's gifts are given, and that manna comes down in the dew for you in the morning. And you can go out in your mundane wilderness world. And if you looked out across the wilderness floor, that dry desert landscape that the people walked in, if they had eyes to see, they would see colors at play. They would see colors dancing on the wilderness floor, because delium is that sparkling gem that has so many rich hues coming up from it that it was spoken of as colors at play. The rich colors that would dance across the wilderness floor for those who had eyes to see it. And what a wonder. What a wonder if we will go out in the morning and open up our eyes in a spirit of faith and know that God has been laboring all night long in the ovens of heaven. His angels have been working, those ministering spirits, to make sure that we are fed in the morning and that we have sparkling gems to look at and we have life that comes into our systems. Colors at play on the wilderness floor. Take it in every morning. Activate your spirit. Anoint your eyes with eye salve so you can see, so your heart can discern, and you can take in the wonders of the gospel, and you take in the mysteries of Christ, and you take in the glories of the kingdom, and you are well fed, and your heart is renewed, and your life is restored, because you know how to eat the manna that God brings down every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Wow, what a spirit of faith to live like that. But God says, that's what I have for my people. Colors at play on the wilderness floor. The sunrise every morning. Get up early enough to see the sunrise. The colors, the glory, the glow. You stand there and say, how does he do it? How does he do it? And God says, that's a sign for you. Because every morning I want the Son of Righteousness to rise on you with healing in his wings. That's a picture of what I'm wanting to do on the whole earth, in the hearts of my people, like the glory of the rising sun, the glory and splendor of the morning, the glow, the beauty. God says, that's what I'm trying to show you, that you can walk in my presence and fulfill my will according to that design and that spirit. So beautiful. So beautiful. Job said that when that morning sun comes up on the earth, it's like a seal pressing into wax. And as the seal presses into wax, the shadows and darkness flee, and living color comes behind it in the world, and you know it's true. The darkness of night, the shadows, the gray of the night, all of a sudden it's gone, and everything stands in glorious color. And the Bible says it's like the earth puts on its garments, and it's arrayed in the most wonderful garments of God that you can imagine. Let's look at Job 38 and 12 to 14. Job said, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the darkness, the wickedness be shaken out, the darkness be shaken out, the terrors of the night, the nightmares or whatever struggles and unrest in a person, that it might take hold of the morning, of the wicked, of the darkness, shake it out. It takes on form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. I think of these words so often when I watch the morning sun. Everything comes alive. The birds come alive. The colors come alive. The earth comes alive. It's like a seal being pressed out on the land, and everything puts on its glorious colors, and we rejoice in the wonder of our God. The wonder of our God. Psalm 81 and verse 16. The people ate manna, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:4. Psalm 81:16, he would have fed them also with the finest of wheat. He would have. Some of them didn't have a heart of faith to respond to it. So they went hungry, and they complained about the kingdom fare they were eating. But he would have fed them with the finest of wheat, the most beautiful understanding and revelations of the Word of God. And with honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. With honey from the rock. The people drank from the smitten rock. The rock was smitten as Christ was on Calvary. And from the rock flowed fresh living waters to satisfy the thirst of upwards of 2 million people and all their animals, life-giving waters. And the Bible says that that rock was Christ. That rock accompanied them. They could drink of the living waters of God every day. And the Bible says sometimes the water tasted so good that it was like honey for sweetness in their mouth. It's like they weren't even drinking water. It's like they were drinking honey because of the blessing of the Lord that was upon their life. Behold, I make all things new. The mercies of God new every morning. 7 times a day do I praise thee. I'm going to take time to tap into Christ who is my life. To learn to dance at the bus stop. Life a precious bowl and life a pulley system in the earth. The same routine day after day. And God says, I've made a way that you could live in my life. Now, Christ is our life, and this Bible is the word of life. Christ is our life. This Bible is the word of life. This puts life into us. The presence of Jesus puts life into us. Some of the most fulfilled Christians in the world have lived in the most difficult places and endured the most trying circumstances. And they've been the most fulfilled. They've been the most satisfied. Because they know how to live in the life of Christ. They know how to draw on the life of Christ. They know how to eat the manna, the wonders of the wilderness floor. They know how to drink the living waters. Because it's not where we live or what we do. It's who we know. It's who we know that makes all the difference. You think of Jesus. He was the most fulfilled person that ever walked this earth. And yet for 30 years, he lived off in lowly Nazareth. Kind of a town pushed off into the north. He wasn't down in Jerusalem. He wasn't down at the beautiful Red Sea, Jericho. He was up in Nazareth. And he lived a very simple life till he was 30 years of age. Day after day routine. It's like everybody else, get up. And then as he grew a little older, he was the carpenter in the carpenter's shop. And every day he'd have to get up and shake the darkness of night off of him and the sleep and get up and go down to the shop and open the carpenter's shop. Begin to take wood and saw and cut and sand. And my, you talk about repetition. You talk about monotony. Sanding tables and chairs and carts for animals to pull and the yokes for the oxen. Day after day, that was his work. The most fulfilled person that ever walked this planet. Hallelujah. because he knew that life was lived in the presence of his Father. He wasn't dependent on what he was doing or where he was living to put life into him. His life was in friendship with the Father and in doing the will of the Father. He was one with the Father. Well, you say, well, but he, you know, but Jesus got to live in the land of Israel. I mean, the Bible says it's the glory of all lands. It's the most beautiful, the most picturesque, the most varied country in the world. It's the best of all countries of the world put into one little country. That's why God calls it the glory of all lands. You say, well, Jesus got to live in Israel. Well, I admit Israel is a nice place, and I admit that when God sent his Son into the world, he had enough sense to send him to a warm climate. But that's not where Jesus found his fulfillment. To be honest, when you live in heaven, even Israel doesn't look that good. If you're the Son of God, you're not going to come to this planet for a vacation or to do some sightseeing. Jesus found his fulfillment in his Father. He found his fulfillment in the will of God. And that's what God has for every one of us. It's not where we live or what we do. It's who we know. And it's how we draw on that precious life of Christ. It's how we draw on the colors that dance on the wilderness floor that makes all the difference between one person and another. Perhaps this is what caused F.B. Meyer to write the words many years ago, "To the soul which is absorbed with God, all places and experiences are much the same." To the soul which is absorbed with God, all places and experiences are much the same. And the reason they are is because that no matter where you are or what you're experiencing, you're looking for one thing above all, and that is the life of Christ. You're looking for the felt presence of God. You're looking for the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to renew and revive your soul. Searching for the life of Christ all day long, wherever we are. And that's why it doesn't matter that much to a truly spiritual person where they are or what they're doing. You can be on a safari in Africa and looking at the beautiful animals that God created, and my, it's wonderful, but it's very wonderful because the life of God is in you and you're drawing on it. You can be in the beautiful tropical islands of Hawaii under the shade of palm trees and the beautiful tropical breezes caressing your cheeks. Or you can be in your office day to day. You can get up every morning where you live in your place of employment. It's like the pulley system at the well. You get up and you prepare and you drive to work and you fight some traffic and you come home back and forth, back and forth. You can be shoveling snow in the winter. Same monotony, same repetition. But there's one thing that makes the difference, because it's the life of God that's in you. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you can tap into the living presence of God, it doesn't matter to you that much what you're doing or where you are. You are living in the presence of the Lord. And that's why the most fulfilled people, the most fulfilled Christians, are the Christians that live most filled with the felt presence of God. The most fulfilled Christians are those who are most filled with the felt presence of God. Worship team, come. Psalm 16 and verse 11. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." In your presence, to activate that felt presence, that's where my life is. Everything else is kind of secondary, ancillary. Everything else in this life for a true Christian is, you deal with it in a kind of non-attendancy, because the most important thing to you is living with that felt presence of God and the Spirit and zeal of God in your heart. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I guess what I want to say this morning is, don't forget to dance at the bus stop. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. The altars are open. If anyone would like prayer for any need, any situation, perhaps there are people here that haven't forsaken all to follow Christ, but today you want to die to yourself and come and live in Christ, be born again. Please come and reconcile your heart with the Lord. Any other needs, please make your way to the altar. Let's close out this morning in worship, praise to the Lord. His mercies are new. Pray that this message by the Holy Spirit will impact your heart and your soul. 7 times a day I will praise the Lord. Maybe you've never danced in your office. Maybe it's time. Maybe in your home. Some people say, how are things going? Same old, same old. Everything's new. Everything's new. I live in the life of the Spirit. I'm alive in the Spirit of God. Come alive in the presence of the Lord. Christ lives in you, and the life you now live in your mortal body, in this flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God. Live abundantly in Jesus Christ. Let His Word and His life take you in every situation and lift you into His presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's magnify the Lord for His great and wondrous life. The glories of the kingdom, the wonders of the gospel, wonder of who we are in Him.